So as you know, we've been looking at fruits of the Spirit here for the last 2 or 3 weeks, and I've heard several important things that I think maybe we should sort of remind ourselves of as we start this morning. So this morning's fruit is joy, as you can tell by how big joy is on the poster there. A couple weeks ago, Melanie Mock reminded us that the expectation that we're called to is to be holy who we are, holy who we are created to be, and in that demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, as opposed to being all the expectations that are placed upon us. And that this is sort of the core in some ways of what it means to be faithful, and part of what we struggle with, part of what's hard in our particular culture is that these things are placed on us. And Leslie reminded us last week as part of her message on love that we don't strive to create the fruit of the Spirit. Rather, it's God creating the fruit in us. And that seems like a pretty significant difference. The message puts it this way: God brings gifts into our lives much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. And I remind us of this because I think it's part of being faithful. Like, I think this is critical to being faithful, that we recognize that we're not striving to create these things, but we're striving to be present to God who creates these things in us. We're not manufacturing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We receive them as gifts. And we're not trading one set of impossible expectations, so what society places on us to define us, for another set of impossible expectations, that we somehow have to live up to what God wants us to be on our own. Instead, we have to be present to God to have a posture that's ready to receive. And the truth is that this is quite enough for us. The struggle is real, folks. We consistently choose to not be present and open to God's work in us, preferring instead to try to do it our own way. We know best, we presume, how to love, how to create joy and peace and kindness, how to be generous and faithful, gentle and self-controlled. Not that we'd ever say it that directly. But remember that the context of the fruit of the Spirit is in contrast to the fruit of the flesh. Or as the message translates it, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time. And when we try to will ourselves to the fruit of the Spirit, I think we're still trying to get our own way, even if that's for the best means and intent. Often we don't intend this for our own means and ends. We might even intend this for good. And of course, it boils back down to the original break in relationship with God, that we want to have power and have the power of the knowledge of good and evil. Because then we aren't dependent on God's provision, or so we think. We sang this just moments ago. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. And at the core of this, it often names our lived reality. We would rather grit our teeth and push through than receive the grace of God. And in many ways, the fruit of joy to me exemplifies this most clearly. We often miss joy because we're busy trying to do it ourselves. Or maybe we don't believe that life is meant to be full of joy. But Scripture is pretty clear. God intends for us to live lives of joy. Jesus puts it pretty succinctly in John 15. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy might be complete. Or to hear it from the voice paraphrase, I want you to know the delight I experience, to find ultimate satisfaction, which is why I am telling you all of this. There's this really clear sense that God intends us to delight in life. Delight in relationship with God and with each other. Wellspring of the joy of living, we sang last week from Ode to Joy. God intends to be our joy. The message uses the phrase exuberance about life. as its translation for the fruit of joy. But so often we allow our way to distract us from the joy that is being provided. We don't find what we're looking for because we're looking in the wrong place. So I'm working on this sermon this week, and Aaron Hampton, who's our office administrator, is gone, and Ashley Hernandez was filling in for her. And Leslie's gone, too. So this, beware, folks. This is a dangerous moment if you need supplies or stuff like that. Aaron's back, thankfully, so the moment's passed. But so Ashley's asking me, do you know where the stapler is? Like that stapler, the 12-inch long reach stapler, which is not something I use on a real frequent basis. And I said, I'm really sorry, I don't know. And I went back, and I'm working away, and I go back into the office, and I see it sitting on the counter. And I think, oh, good, Ashley found the stapler. That's great. And so I said, Ashley, good job, you found the stapler. You can do that thing. And she goes, what do you mean I found the stapler? I said, well, it's right here on the counter. Didn't you, you know, take it out of the drawer and put it? No, the stapler had been there the whole time. So, you know, we were looking for this thing, and because we didn't think it was on the counter, neither of us bothered to look on the counter, which is the most obvious place to look. Sometimes I think that's how life is for us with joy. The joy is right in front of us, but we look past it. C.S. Lewis said it this way, I sometimes wonder whether all pleasures are not substitutes for joy. The psalmists are insistent about joy as well. Here's three verses that are just examples. Psalm 16:11. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 21:6. You bestow on him blessings forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. And these verses are just a few of the many. And that's ones that have the word joy, never mind the word rejoice. Sing with joy. Make joyful noise. Shouts of joy. Exuberance in joyfulness. Now, it's worth pausing to note, I think, and to name that this encouragement to joy has had a negative side sometimes. This teaching has been abused. So for folks who deal with depression and anxiety, or for those of us struggling with grief, or as a means to keep dissension quiet. But we're not talking about climb up Sunshine Mountain. It's not just the joy down in my heart, that if Satan doesn't like it, he can sit on attack joy. We're talking about something much more weighty than this. We're not looking at joy as a blindfold to the reality of life. Scripture certainly recognizes that at least emotionally, joy is not always present, and that grief and doubt and hardship create friction in our ability to live into the depth of a sense of well-being and delight in life. And from the lament psalms to the prophetic witness, the testimony of Scripture is that God's deep desire for our sense of well-being and delight in life often crashes into the harsh reality of hard times and difficulties. Scripture recognizes that our experience of joy is often conditional upon our sense of well-being. Proverbs 14:13, even in laughter the heart can be sad, and the end of joy is grief. But Scripture is also plain that joy is not just about personal fulfillment in the sense of life going as we want it to, or us getting what we want, or us simply being happy. James 1:2-4, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. I'm not always thankful to James for this writing. Consider it pure joy? Really? But the sense we begin to get as we look at this call to joy is that joy is centered in relationship with God. In a deep sense, joy comes out of trust, out of release of self, and our own desire to be open to what it is that God wants to pour into us. It was interesting to me to see how many passages of Scripture talk about joy becoming complete or mature or fully realized. What does that mean, I wonder? I don't often think about incomplete or unrealized joy, but perhaps it's the realization of what we've most hoped for. There's joy and hope, but that joy becomes realized in the transpiring of the hope. And I wonder if it's not just the big things that that happens in, the markers that we make for arriving in our life, but in the day-to-day reality. I got to thinking, partly because Nolan's wedding is coming up, about marriage and a bride and groom longing and hoping for the realization of their marriage through their wedding. And they and we often take great joy in that celebration, but it's the marriage and the living of that love that brings the true completion of that joy. There's joy in the process and joy in the completion of the goal. But often when we live where there isn't an actual arrival point, and it's another day to get up and face the world, we need our joy in God's provision and care for us, even in the hard spaces. I think it's important to realize the fruit of the Spirit are refreshed in us all the time. It doesn't happen just once. It needs to be refreshed regularly. And I love this from Isaiah 29:19. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord. I think joy may be having what we need of steadfast and security in what God is about. We possess at our core what we truly desire, which is security in our dependence on God. Joy is the ability to possess delight in living the gift of the lives that God has given us. So let's be clear, we don't manufacture joy. Maybe we can manufacture happiness, at least to some extent. But joy is a posture before God that is refreshed by God. Joy finds its source in the core trust that this, in fact, is God's world. Beyond our temptation to manufacture our own joy is our temptation to cling to past joy. As poet William Blake said, "He who binds himself to a joy does the winged life destroy. But he who kisses the joy as it flies lives in eternity's sunrise." Our joy from God is ongoing. And this is a stream of living water as opposed to a bottle of stale water. God will be faithful to continue to feed and refresh our joy. C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven," which has got kind of a little taste of British humor to it, doesn't it? Joy is the serious business. Joy is all around us. It's our own preoccupation and desire for things to be certain ways that causes us to miss joy. And those things we've created as evil in our selfishness and pursuit of what we think will bring us joy work against our true joy. With true joy, with God working through us, we can resist that evil. We don't undo sorrow or bring about God's intent to the world without God's collaboration, which apparently is intended to include joy. Now, we have a tendency, courtesy of our spiritual DNA, from both general Christian history and Quaker perspective, to miss joy, to take ourselves too seriously, which is not to say we can't be called to be about serious business. Justice and peacemaking are things we're called to. But if we're not doing this work with joy, we're likely not doing this work as Christ calls us to it. We too easily dismiss joy, and as we dismiss joy, it's often a sign that we are beginning to put more of our energy into our fear and investing into our own solutions, which overwhelms us. All of which are good signs we're depending more on ourselves than on Christ's love and guidance and joy in our lives. And our need for joy is evident, but not as a means of sticking our heads in the sand. Joy is a real tool of dissent and resistance. Joy fills us up and helps us collaborate with God, but it stands as a testimony and witness to a deeper reality. So does this mean we can't choose joy? I don't think so. Maybe we can't choose joy in the sense that we create it or prop it up, but we receive joy through holding the posture to receive a gift. For us to choose joy, it means we choose to be attentive to what God is doing. It means we have to disconnect or create space away from what we're being sold will bring us happiness, so we can perceive what God is doing and join in. It means turning off the noise enough to realize the gifts we've been given. To remind us of what Melanie said, we're bombarded. We're bombarded with messages that we're not okay, that we're not enough, that we need this or that or the other thing, or that we can sort of pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. This is the posture is what Jesus is talking about in John 15. I have told you these things, Jesus says, before he says that his joy will be ours. Abide in me. Bear much fruit. Abide in my love. I am the vine and you are the branches. I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. It's a beautiful metaphor. And it's the same metaphor that Paul uses in Galatians 5, coming back around to where we started. But what happens when we live God's way? God brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. It's been interesting trying to talk about joy at a time that things have felt a little dark. And maybe it's felt a little dark for many of us over the last couple years. It's a time in history that feels dark. And in that darkness, it may feel difficult to be the light. And yet I wonder if there's a joy there. If there's joy in living the life we're called to, that we're invited to be by God. That being the light in the darkness, as hard as that may feel sometimes, has joy to it in the faithfulness that we're doing, in the way that we shine. I wonder if we'll find hope and a deep exuberance about life as we allow God to create this fruit in us. So let's take some time to listen together. If there's a message that God has through you for us, please stand and a microphone will be brought to you. Or maybe it's a message that's just for you. Or maybe it's a message for somebody who's not here this morning that you need to find and share that with. And we'll leave these two versions of Jesus' statement in John 15, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Let's listen to Jesus together.